Some of you may wonder why I had Joey move this down here. I don't need a repeat of what I had. I think it would have been 3 weeks ago today, Brenda, probably. I was preaching in Evansburg at Temple Baptist Church, and most of you realize I had a stroke in 2012 and then had sepsis in 2022, and when you combine those, I lost a lot of balance, and stairs are my worst enemy. And I had finished preaching. I knew I had a problem because it had no rail. And so I got a guy about 6'2", about 185 pounds, to lend me an arm like this. And then I got a hold right here, and he helped me up the step, and all went well. And I told him, meet me at the step when I get finished. So he came back to meet me at the step. But instead of getting here, I got too far out on his arm coming down. And on the last step, when I put my left foot on the floor, my right foot with these rubber-soled shoes caught the step, and I won't tell you, I bit the dust. I just piled it right out into the carpet and brought him with me. And so there's really no way more dramatic to finish your message than just to lay it all out on the floor and then wait for a whole crew to come and help me get up. So I've just learned I'd a lot rather just say, bring me something down here, Joey, and thank you for that. Boy, what a great opportunity to be in worship with you today. Pastor Paul called me a couple of weeks ago and asked if I would come and preach for him today, and it gives him time to be with his sons for Father's Day. And it's always a blessing for me to get to come back to see some of you that I haven't seen for a long time, for others that I know you pray for me on a regular basis. And for that, I say thank you. I too want to give tribute to all of those of you who are dads today, some of you who may yet to be dads, and may God lead and guide you in that aspect of your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I will preach a message entitled, Tributes to Dads. Father, we bow before you this morning. We hallow your name. We rejoice in the opportunity of being called Christian because of the price you paid. Father, you gave your son that we might be called Christian today. And Lord, I ask that you'd be with Pastor Paul, Shelley, wherever they are today. Give them a good day. God, for the problems around the world that dads are having to struggle with, trying to provide for families, raise families, I yield them to you. May each of us in this room today be surrendered to whatever you want to say to us, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen. I preached many sermons directed right at dads on Father's Day, and usually pointing out all the challenges and the responsibilities, and too often their shortfalls. Father's Day emphasis should really be a time of recognizing and giving some encouragement and even a few accolades. With the direction of our government and educational system today, it's not an easy time to be raising children. To quote Jesus in Matthew 22:21, the latter part says, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." It would seem much in order to me today to say, render to dads some things that are due to dads. And I, being a dad for almost 59 years, I recognize the challenges. And men, oftentimes you may not say much to anybody about it, but your mind and your heart is forever burdened about not only your responsibilities, but if you have children, right away you begin to be concerned for each and every one of them, the individual problems that they might have. In many cases, it's not a very complimentary package when we begin to render to dads what's due to them. But in a lot of cases, dads in today's world merit some real, well-earned acknowledgments. And several of us were blessed with dads who may have been fairly firm, but I am personally very thankful for the home in which I was born into. There's a quote that says, "Almost any man can father a child, but it takes a special man to be a dad." Billy Graham once said, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society." And let's just journey through some Bible verses today that really speak into our minds and our hearts and they speak refreshing into our spirits. The first one, Isaiah 41, verse 10, direct this to our dads as we read it. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I think what powerful promises and sustaining affirmation. When I read that statement, like, I will strengthen you and help you, I'm reminded what I once said to people. I never knew how strong I was until I had to forgive someone who wasn't sorry and accept an apology that I never got. May I read that to you again? I never knew how strong I was until I had to forgive someone who wasn't sorry and accept an apology that I never got. But don't be afraid, Dad. There are so many unknown questions right now. We are living in a very confused, messed up, mixed up world to where the leadership that we have elected seem to be leading in a direction that most of us would say it is not a good path. It's not the right path at all. But I would say to you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't be afraid because God's with you. Don't be discouraged. And boy, there are times when you feel like just waving the white flag and saying, where are we going? It's hopeless. I remember when I was probably in my very early 20s, it'd been 50 years ago at least, and I said to my dad, how can the world go on in the mess that we're in now? And he kind of smiled at me and he said, when I was your age, I said the same thing. How can it go on? You know, we have a generation growing up around us now, all of these young ones like you hear and the ones that came up for the song time. They don't know any different, do they? They think it's always been like this. Those of you who are older, you know this is not the way it's always been. We're in a very difficult, rapidly changing time. I will strengthen you and I will help you. That means that God Himself and the power of the Holy Spirit will come alongside of us and lift us up and help us in these areas that we need it. I'll hold you up with my victorious right hand. What a promise that the Lord God Himself is aware of where you're at and what's going on in your life, man. And I will comfort you, I'll strengthen you, I'll lift you up. I never knew how strong I was until I had to forgive someone who wasn't sorry and accept an apology that I never got. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, again, direct this at dads today. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. These little ones around you, dad, granddad, you can hardly understand how much these little ones are going to mimic and mock you. I don't have any little kids anymore, but I have a little great-granddaughter who's 3.5 years old. Last summer, she was just along 2.5. And her dad was having a little bit of a hard time getting her attention, getting her to do what he wanted her to do. And so I thought, I'll just try something. So I said, hey, hey, hey. Boy, she just turned around and come right in the line. And the rest of the day and the rest of the weekend, every time something happened, she said, hey, hey, hey. And her dad asked her one time, why are you doing that? She said, well, Pop-Pop says, hey, hey, hey. I had no intention of telling her what to say from now on or what I was going to do. Just remember that what comes out of your mouth is going to get repeated by those around you. You know, I've even heard that little girl say a couple of words that she didn't get from me. I'm not going to say where she got them because nobody on the face of the earth would admit it, I'm sure. But just remember, what you're saying to these kids, they're listening to you. In your good times, when you've had a horrible day, when the world seems to be collapsing on you, make sure that all the talk that comes out of your mouths is wholesome. Make sure it's what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. You know, sometimes there's a big difference in what I feel like saying and doing for that day and what that child needs to hear from me. I remember when I was a young man, my dad said, don't ever teach the book of Ecclesiastes to young men, to young women, because it's the one that says it's all vanity and vexation of spirit, it's all in vain. He said, keep that and teach that to old men, because we know what it's like. We experience that. I don't want kids to grow up believing we're hooped. It's helpless. It doesn't matter what we do, how hard we try. We are defeated. We're beat before we start. They need to grow up knowing that the Lord gives them hope, because I think my generation has created a monstrous mess, and now we're asking the generation behind us to come along and straighten it up, clean it up. Reason I know that, we've told them it's okay to drink, as long as you don't just drink from a bottle somewhere out of a styrofoam cup. As long as you put it in fine china, that's okay. We've told them it's okay to have premarital sex. We'll even give them condoms. We told them it's okay to borrow all the money you can, get all the credit cards you can. It doesn't matter if you pay. And now we're telling them, boy, we're in a mess, aren't we? Well, I'm asking you to join me in saying, we will do that which benefits those who listen, according to the last part of that verse. Then it's been said that one of the times and places for a dad to speak wholesome words is when we remember each day we make deposits in the memory banks of our children. Did you notice some of these little short, about 30-second mimes that we witnessed here? Boy, those were good times, weren't they? Teaching your boy how to fish, or reading Bible stories to your son, or now you're back with your dad helping him. I'm there. I have to have my kids help me. When something goes wrong with my phone, you know what I do? I try to find some teenager in the room and give that thing to him and tell him what I want done. In fact, I had an IT guy tell me one time with my computer in the office, you know, when you had a problem, you're supposed to call like an IT guy. He came to my office. He told me after, he said, DK, I have to tell you something. I have no idea how you got your computer messed up like you did. He said, I tried, and I can't make mine do what you did to yours. So I'm just saying here that we're going to need those that can come along and help straighten out some of the messes that we have made. Three major roles in a dad's life comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 11 and 12. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to lives worthy of God, who called you into his kingdom and glory. Encouraging. Oh, how that is so needed in the world today. Just to come alongside it everywhere you can. In fact, a high percent of my ministry now is not just preaching and teaching and doing some mentoring and coaching, but finding every opportunity to encourage people. Sometimes a word is enough. Sometimes it takes more than that. Someone has said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. As your kids are growing up around you, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, are you communicating to them that I believe in you? You can do it. You've got to, you know, we have a statement now, you got this. I'm beginning to wonder, what in the world do people really mean when they tell me, you got this? But I got what? I got the flu, I got cancer, I got bills, I got, oh yeah, I got some good stuff happening too, right? You got this. But this one just simply says, believe in those that you're working with and those that are around you. If you grew up in a home where your dad never did anything but put you down, you were never good enough, you could never do it right, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. It's so important that we encourage. Here's an encouragement for us older folks. It says, I like to walk with Grandpa. His steps are short like mine. He doesn't say hurry up. He always takes his time. Most people have to hurry. They do not stop and see. I'm glad that God made Grandpa unrushed and young like me. You know, it's encouraging when you see, if I may, the last ones that came, the last dads that came here. It gave the perfect picture of how the life cycle moves about, right? To where now you help dad find this, and you help dad see this, you help dad to understand that, and then we read, he's like me. I don't usually use it, but I have people always rub it on me. You know, the life cycle is actually from diapers to Depends. That's not what I'm talking about. That's life going around, and we encourage, he's young like me. And then comforting. Not only encouraging, but comforting. There are and there will continue to be lots of opportunities to offer comfort in our day and in the coming days. I don't know how many people, Brenda and I, have participated in their lives, and some of them, several of them, in their funeral memorial services in the last while. And boy, there is such a need for comfort. You know, Yanni, if I may use without permission, the first time you hear that word, that you've got cancer, boy, one of the most comforting things you could do is be there and be quiet. Just share your heart. Just be there. Other times, a word of comfort. I have learned, and I always practice when people say to me after, would you pray for me? Would you pray for my family? You know what we're going to do? I don't care how many hundred people are around. I'm going to stop and immediately say, if it's all right with you, I'm going to put my arm around it. I'm going to say, we're going to pray right now. We're not going to make a promise, because, you know, sometimes I forget. And then I'm on a guilt trip. I say, I will pray for you words of comfort. Every time God brings you to my mind, I will lift you up. I will pray that God will comfort you. When our children were small, it often only took a hug or a Band-Aid or a kiss to make it better. As our kids grow older, the need's often just much more complex. You know what I mean. You've had a little one, they sort of debark their knee or they bang their shin, and all it takes is just, if you'll just give it a little kiss, man, you're a miracle healer. You just do wonders in their life. This same little great-granddaughter I was talking to you about last time, she was out at our house a few weeks ago. I don't know what happened, but I saw something bang her on the side of the foot, and it hurt. So her grandmother, her great-grandmother, got a Band-Aid, and the little girl couldn't even remember where the Band-Aid needed to go. She forgot where it hurt. But she knew that it was going to help, just because that was going to be put somewhere on there. Well, I believe that now our dads need to realize and understand those kids, as they grow older of yours, they're going to need your hugs. They're going to need your Band-Aids. And yes, if they are coming to irritate you when you're watching TV or whatever you're doing, and all they want is the keys, that same one, someday, they're going to need a Band-Aid. And they're going to need a hug. And I would say there that you can still give that hug. And you can still give that Band-Aid, and it won't hurt you. And it'll do wonders for them. Then it says, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom glory. Urging is a strong word. It's not just encouraging, a little bit of recommending, but I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you that you will live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. You know, I often wonder, you have people say, would you pray for me or pray for this person? And they are everything but living for God. In fact, they'll let you know real quick, I don't believe in God. And then they'll call you next week and say, would you pray for me? You'll pray for somebody that's sick in my family. We need to start off by saying, I encourage you to live a life that's worthy of God. God, the Father, gave his Son, who gave his life, that I might have life everlasting, and that would be a glorious gift. The quote that says, he didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him. You know, that's what dads need to do today. We don't need to just tell our kids what to do and our grandkids, but we need to be living it, and we need to let them watch it. And that's where they will really gain confidence in God and you. They'll either gain confidence in you or lose it when they see that what you're saying, that's what you do. If they see you saying this, but you're doing otherwise, you just lost your impact on that person, whether it be a child or someone else. Another anonymous example said, one night, a father overheard his son pray, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my daddy is." And later that night, the father prayed, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants me to be." I think we need to take that to heart. God, make me like my dad, but God, make me the kind of dad my son thinks I am or he wants me to be. How do we survive and live victoriously? Well, we start by not being satisfied to just survive. We need to be striving to live victoriously. All you would have to do today to drown is just give up. And I'm just going to float along now. Don't allow yourself to give up, and don't allow your boys, your daughters, your sons, your granddaughters, grandsons, don't just give up on them. And don't ask them just to learn to survive. Oh, you can't do anything about it, so just put up with it and survive. No. Under God, you can be victorious. I live in the same world that everybody else does. But I'm a long way from saying it's hopeless. I still believe, and I believe every Christian believes, our God still reigns. Although it may not look like it in the nation of Canada, it may not look like it in America, but I submit to you today, our God reigns and rules. He is in control. He is in charge. And I will endeavor to live victoriously, not just cope and survive. We're not quitters. This is not a time for men to say, I just give up. I've got more debt than I can handle. I can't get a proper job. I'm having things taught to my kids in school that I don't like. The laws are wrong. You know, I can't even tell my kid if you're a boy or a girl when they're born. I mean, we're in that time of world, but we will not be giving up. We will say we will live victoriously in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't do it in the name of Jesus Christ, you know what I would suggest to you? Go ahead and give up early. Don't waste your time. But we're not going to do that. We're going to ask the Lord God to help us. Then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, don't worry about anything. And for me, I say I don't worry, but boy, sometimes I get deeply concerned. I don't know if they're the same thing or not, but it sounds better, you know, spiritually, doesn't it? I'm just deeply concerned. Instead, pray about everything. You're not a religious nut if you pray about everything. You're just a believer in Jesus Christ. Not just the little things, not just the big things, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need, he says, and thank him for all he has done. Do you know one of Satan's most subtle tools is to take away the joy and the victories that you have already had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just remove all of that and help you to only remember the hard times and the problems. He says here, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Someone said today, I don't even farm anymore, but boy, I am rejoicing in the rain. It doesn't take very much to draw back to memory to last year when at this time there were fires, it was dry, the grasshopper infestation was starting. That same little great-granddaughter of mine says, come, you got me by the hand. She called me Pop-Pop. She said, Pop-Pop's coming, let me show you the hop-hops. She'd walk through the grasshoppers and they're just going like this. And she loved it because her brother, who was 12, was scared to death of grasshoppers. We started off in the side-by-side with grasshoppers going everywhere. We had to stop and let him get in the pickup. The little girl just makes fun of him. Man, she said, Hop-Hop, you're not going to bite me. Pow! Now, we're teaching her, don't commit murder. But when a grasshopper, mosquitoes, things light here, you didn't commit murder, they committed suicide. They knew. They've got 8 billion other people in the world they could go to, but they came to this one, you do that, you die. So, I mean, it depends on how you handle truth, right? We need to remember and respect the past. Don't live in the past, but remember, respect it. We need to live in the present. And while we're living in this present world, don't reach back into the past and drag some junk into the present. And don't reach into the unknown future and drag the unknown into the present. You have got right now to get right and stay right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when the next hour comes that he gives you, you just get right and you stay right and you just keep going on. Here's a good scripture description of a man who lives out his unconditional love in the present. He's kind and tender-hearted. He's honest and hardworking. He teaches his children right from wrong and shows them by example. He's not afraid to say, "I'm sorry," and admit mistakes. He respects those around him and those in authority over him. He puts God first. I don't know that author, but I think that's a tremendous description. And then keep the future clearly in focus, asking God to fill in the blanks. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but as the old song, I know who holds tomorrow. And that's why I will go into tomorrow hanging on to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what's more important? We have the biblical promise he will go into tomorrow hanging on to us. From the time I was a young boy, I read that said there's cat religion and there's monkey religion. A monkey that's moving his little ones from point A to B, they just jump on the monkey's back and hang on and he takes them. You ever notice how a cat moves all of her kittens when they're little? She gets them by the scruff of the neck and she carries them. They're getting from point A to B by the monkey is based on their ability to hang on. The little cat's ability to get from A to B is based on the mom hanging on. My ability to get through life and raise my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, have influence on them, is not based on me hanging on to them. It's on God hanging on to all of us and leading us together. Oh, a family unit is so important today. When you watch a dad, it's not based on how many words you say. It's based on what you're living out in what you're saying. And let that be directed from God. So keep a focus clearly on the future. So I do pay tribute to you men who are seeking to fulfill the last part of Joshua 24:15. You remember the little mimes? As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. If I could ask you, if you're a dad today, your granddad, a great-granddad, could we resolve afresh and anew today on June 16th, 2024, I resolve that it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's your great start. And then remember, God says, I gave my son that you could call me Father. Lord Jesus, as we bow before you, we get ready to sing our worship song. Lord, let your spirit speak to us. Draw us to you. We have a desire to live for you, Lord Jesus. But oh, sometimes we're weak. The battle rages hot. We kind of lose hope. We kind of lose faith. Our confidence wanes. Lord, thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for urging us on. I pray that in this room today, if there's a dad or a man here that does not yet know you as Savior and Lord of their life, that right where they sit right now, they would just honestly say, God, I have not been the kind of dad I need to be. I want to be what you want me to be. So, Lord, would you come into my life? Would you take charge? Would you forgive me of all the wrongs that I've said or done? Help me to be like you. Help me to be an encouragement to all that I can reach out and touch. We love you, Lord Jesus, but we're oh so much more grateful for how you love us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.